I just want to thank God for being here tonight, and just to stop and thank Him for being able to be a guest at that beautiful wedding yesterday. And I thank Him for the ways that there were just so many testimonies to God's love that I saw yesterday in so many different ways and so many different relationships, and just the work that went into that. And I just thank God for the way that He can take things like that and just bless them and make them so beautiful, and that we all get to be a part of that together as a family, and everybody has a part in that, and lifting up the new family that's being formed. And just thank Him for being able to be a part of that, and just ask you to worship with us tonight while we sing.
Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with all desire to walk beside Him every single day? When you take Him at His word, then the flame inside will burn. He will lift you higher if your heart's a heart of fire.
Does it burn? Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, my God, I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we heard the story, they'll be shouting on the hills of God. Shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills. Shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, they'll be shouting on the hills of God. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills. Shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, they'll be shouting on the hills of God. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills. Shouting on the hills. When we reach that land of which we've heard the story, they'll be shouting on the hills of God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I praise you, my God. I'm going to throw a big curveball at the band. So we're gonna do a songbook song in a minute, but I was just flipping through my book and there's a song that just jumped out to me and just feel like I really want to do it tonight, and we'll just do this one just guitar, Ben. Song is Your Glory. And I was thinking about that gathering we had for the wedding yesterday and just how that is. God's glory was just so present in it. And it was so beautiful, and the whole service, the time of fellowship, everything was just beautiful. And just want to sing this song. So when I do an altar call, if you know the words, sing along. If you don't know the words, worship, sing along. Okay, so your glory.
My life is yours. My hope is in you only. My heart you hold. 'Cause you made this sinner holy. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall down on my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. My life is yours. My hope is in you only. My heart you hold. 'Cause you sinner holy, holy, holy. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall down on heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus. You are good. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, you are good. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, you are good. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall down on my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
You, Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for that. That life that we can have in you, just that presence that you have in everything we do. I love you, my God, and I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord. So, we're actually going to just do our last song tonight. If you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now. We're going to sing song number 162, In the Name of Jesus, There's Power to Set You Free.
In the name of Jesus, there's power to set you free. In the name of Jesus, there's glorious victory over sin, disease, and sickness. Power to walk in liberty through faith in His wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, there's power to set you free. In the name of Jesus, there's glorious victory over sin, disease, and sickness. Power to walk in liberty through faith in His wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, there's power to set you free. In the name of Jesus, there's glorious victory over sin, disease, and sickness. Power to walk in liberty through faith in His wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, there's power to set you free. Sickness, power to walk in liberty through faith in His wonderful name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of the Lord?
You may be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hey, we're good to be in here two or three days a week. Now, this is awesome. I want to thank God for yesterday, for this congregation, how everybody come together and made it such a special day for Janie and James. It was awesome. I want to welcome one of our visitors tonight. I got a little bit of a, I don't know what I got. I can't get rid of what I had. I'm not contagious, but I still got a cough and I'm kind of a raspy voice. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody to Salatin, Alaska, to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. This is our afternoon service. I want to welcome all our visitors and our online folks. We're glad to have you aboard today. We're just here to learn a little bit more about God, worship and praise Him, and thank Him for all the blessings He's put in our lives. And we love living for such a wonderful God. Amen. I want to expound a little bit on that wedding, though, just how so many people, the planning, the decorating, the food, the setup, the cleanup, just the sound, everything that went into all the things that made that day so special. That was all I could see was how God's machine really works. It's fine-tuned, and everybody pitches in and does their part. The fellowship was great. We got to meet a lot of new people, got to share what God's done for us. They got to look at our building and talked about how amazing it was. Janie's dad's an architect, and he was checking it out, looking all over. Said, man, this is quite a building. He says, that's what I do for a living. So God's glory was everywhere. Each and every one of us did our part. It was really cool. And I thank you all for that, because that's what this is all about, showing God's glory. Him saving our souls to start with, and then us sharing what God's done for us. Amen. We need to keep praying for everybody. There's a lot of sickness going around right now. A lot of people are down and out. And I want to thank God that He does only let it go so far. But we got people here that got some health issues. It amazes me how some people get out of the house to come to church or come to these events when they can barely make it. And shame on us if we're in good health and we don't come, because we got to stand alongside of them when we get there. And I love coming to church. I mean, I just do. It's Wednesday nights are pretty sparse anymore. I mean, God's here on Wednesday nights too. You know, that's something that each and every one of us have to give an account for. And this teaching here won't apply to everybody, but like I say, part of it will apply to all of us. But if it doesn't apply to you, well, that's good. It's all about God's plan. God, what God's got planned for you and me and all of us. Because when God calls us, He's got a plan for us. We're predestined, and He definitely has a work for us to do. There's no such thing as a pew sitter in the church of God. Amen? I mean, there's something everybody can do. If it's just praying, if that's all you can do is pray, send a text, make a phone call, send a card. But there's little things that people can do that maybe they're not real physical at the time, but they can still carry that love out there. And we just need to do all we can do to cultivate that and show people that we really do actually care about them, not just lip service. So love is an action word. It's not just, hi, how you doing? It's you show your love by your actions. And that's all you could see around here yesterday was love. It was beautiful the way they decorated. And I have to give Dee Dee an extra kudo, attaboy, whatever. She made that cake. That was an awesome cake. When I heard she made that cake, I was so proud of her, I couldn't believe it. So thanks, Dee Dee. Appreciate it. Showing God's glory, that's what it's all about. We're living in troublesome times, man. That peace and joy that we spread around, it gives people hope, because it's pretty dim out there. I'm just proud of our church family tonight, real proud of them. Thank you for showing God's glory and His love for people that maybe have never come in contact with it before, maybe have been in contact with it, but maybe not to that depth. There's different levels of God's glory. And yesterday was a real good chance for us to show it, and we really did. Thank you. Let's start out, I named this the plan, or what is God's plan for you? So if anybody wants to write that down in your notes. Let's start out in Jeremiah, the first chapter, 2:4-5. Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, I formed thee in thy belly, and I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee that a prophet unto the nations. So Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was ever born. The Bible teaches that God looks on down through eons of time and predestinates the ones that are going to live and serve him. So if we're here tonight, God was looking at you before you were even thought of. That's pretty awesome if you really think about that. That he knew you before he formed even the earth. We're serving the mighty God. Amen. And we look at it through natural eyes, but he's a spirit. Everything you see with your natural eyes, he created. So how much more real is he? Let's go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Start out in verse 11. Jeremiah, 29th chapter, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. He's talking about eternity with him, but also, what do we do between now and then? The time that we meet God, receive his spirit, what do we do in that time frame? We work for him. We gain new souls for him. That's all we can do for God, is gain new souls. We can overcome our natural, be more productive, to work out his vineyard. But that's the only things we can do, is be willing to make the changes that we have to make to be spiritual enough to reach anybody we come in contact with. To know this word of God, no matter who you talk to, you can explain it to them. And if you can't, go get some information from somebody or do some research. Don't try to fake it. Tell them exactly what the word of God teaches. Don't add any of your own thoughts and feelings in there. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that kind of starts out how this whole message is going to go right there. It's God, you could have a calling in your life, but if you never try to cultivate that, pray about it, search whatever God's got in mind for you, and be diligent about it. It's a lot of times, not a lot of times, God cannot use a novice. So you have to prove yourself first to God. You have to learn these scriptures. You have to grow closer to him. There's just a whole pattern here that you have to follow. And the works around, we'll just put it this way, the works around the church. The mowing the grass, the cleaning the bathrooms, the cleaning the church, just anything, dusting. That's how you start out in God. You do anything and everything you see to do or ask to do, if it's possible, if you're physically able to do it. That's how you prove yourself to God. Amen? I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He says, you don't get there by your works, but I can show you my faith by my works. Amen? You got to hunker down. I mean, you really do. To be in the place that God has called you to be. Let's go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Second Peter, the 3rd chapter, start out in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that there is not only just about being in a place where you're supposed to be when God calls you. It's about him waiting on us to get ourselves together, completely together, where we're holy enough where we can make the rapture. And how do you do that? You do that by your works for God. How you go through the things, right? Do you get upset when somebody says one little thing to you? Do you give people the benefit of the doubt? These are all things, fruits of the Spirit. Do you think no evil? Are you quick to get upset? That's a big one there. There's a lot of things. Everybody's natural. You got pluses and minuses. Some are more pronounced than others. But it's up to us to look in the mirror, see what's not pleasing to God, and make the changes. Amen? God can't use you when you're like that. When you're gnarly and people have to walk around you because they don't want to confront you, or if they say hi to you, it's iffy sometimes. There's just a lot of examples of that. I don't want to get into all of them, but you should, everybody that, whether in this church or on the job or anywhere else, should be comfortable around you to the point where they can say hi, goodbye, ask you about something, did this get done or that get done, or anything like that. And you know, the people that I've noticed, including myself, that are more susceptible to react to that is people that really try hard to do everything right. And when somebody calls something out, right away they get defensive. I'm at the top of the list. I have to work on that all the time. It's because I care. But just because you care doesn't mean you can get upset, easily offended, and quick to get back at somebody. We don't want to be defensive. Humble, humble. We got to be humble. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, at which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also that works that are hidden shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation, and that's how we react and interact with each other, in godliness. That's the kind of people we need to be 24/7, not just when things are going good or we're around a bunch of people that know us and we don't want to mess up because they'll think bad of us. We do that out, no matter what, if we're in an 80-acre field somewhere and there's nobody around us, we cannot react in the natural. We just can't do it. We're spiritual people. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 chapter, and we'll start out in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Everybody in here is being called. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can stop us but us in our walk with God. Amen? We are the controlling factor. If we give in to our natural, then we lose out. We got to get on our knees and start over again. And the more you have to start over again, just overcoming daily, it takes a lot of work. But when you get yourself in a bind where you haven't been doing the right stuff for quite a while. You have to really fight just to get back to where you were at. And then you can go again. And we're going to get into these gifts and callings here in a little bit. And I know I've been here for a long time. And I guess I've tried to do everything I was asked to do or saw to do since I've been here. I mean, it wasn't the perfect saying as far as getting everything done, but I've tried to put God first in pretty much everything I do. And now I look back at all that stuff, and I see, even though it's hard sometimes, you're going to grow through that stuff. You grow. You don't realize you're growing. It's a one day at a time thing, but you do. You grow through that stuff. It's the way you react and interact and the way you go through things is what God looks at. He looks at our attitude. The Bible teaches us to do everything, no matter what it is, unto God. That makes life so much easier. When you're trying to please others by doing things, it doesn't always turn out that way. Sometimes you get a negative response for something you really tried hard to do. How do you react to that? If you do it to God, or for God, you're not going to react to it. You're going to say, well, I did my best, and that's all I could do. And sometimes your best is not very good, but if it's your best, that's what it is. I mean, there's times that I really try to do my best, but it doesn't come out that way. So what do? Do I go over the corner and cry, and, you know, oh, I just let you down, Lord, and all that? No, if it's something that I've done intentionally, or not intentionally, but if just something I've done because I didn't do enough homework or whatever, well, then I need to go fix that. But if it's something happens just because, I think it's God allows it to happen with me especially to humble me, keep me humble. And I know exactly that there's no way that I could get behind this pulpit or anywhere else and say and do the things that I do without God being there with me. I can't do it without God. Amen? None of us can. Praise God for his love and mercy and going before us. And when we do come up short, he fixes it for us. That's one thing that really, really cultivates your love with God. That when something goes south, he fixes it for you because he loves you and he has mercy on you. But that same mercy he has on us, we have to have on each other. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to start out in verse 1 in it, 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto this dumb idols, whereas you were led. It just talks about us before we met God. Wherefore I give you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you know God's real. That's the day your eyes are open. Amen? Nobody can tell you didn't just meet God, and nobody can tell you don't need it. You're never going to be the same again. And the closer you walk with God, the more real he gets. And he is a personal God, and I love him for that, just for being so personal with me. And he's like that with every human being that wants to have a relationship with him. Amen? We're serving an awesome, loving God. And we don't want to shame him or let him down. Amen? Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same God, which worketh all in all. So, just in the church body. There's offices here. There's people that do the books. There's people that run the cleaning committees. There's always something going on around here. And when we have our saints meeting, you can see who's in charge of what. And if you want to volunteer, see, when you volunteer, that's a commitment. A lot of people don't want to make a commitment. But that commitment's before God. That's not before people. But how are you going to get close to God if you don't step out a little bit and trust Him that He'll give you the strength and the knowledge to do what He's called you to do? Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. This is not, the gifts that God gives are to edify the body of Christ and then bring glory to God. They're not to be taken personally like, hey, I'm pretty special, I got this going or I got that going. Verse 8, for one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, some of these gifts depend on what you're called to do for God. If you're a teacher, you need both of these things. You're not limited to just one thing in your walk with God. Sometimes you are. But the Bible talks about if you're faithful in the small things, that God adds the big things to you. But sometimes it takes years. Look at Abraham and Sarah, for instance. It was like 25 years after the promise that they were going to have a baby, that they had the baby. And she was, what, 90-some years old? And 25 years. I mean, I know myself that I felt different things in prayer when I was younger and God, and they didn't happen. And a couple of times, after a couple of years, I got a little bit uptight about it. Prayed for healing for somebody one time because I felt like might have something going there. And I really prayed, and it didn't happen. And I had an attitude about it. How are you going to have an attitude at God for very long? I mean, you get over it. But if you study these scriptures, you see that sometimes it takes years and years before God will use the person in the calling that they've called. And that means that you just keep going along. You prove your faith and your trust in God. Well, you just keep every day doing what you're supposed to do. If you see something to do, you do it. Something comes up, you volunteer to do it. That's how we grow in God. We don't pick and choose how far we're going to go with God. He says, you give me your best shot, and I'll take care of you. I'll bless your life. And He's definitely blessed our life, amen? And there's nothing that God hasn't done or won't do for His people. That alone, what a promise that is. And God can't lie. When He tells you something, it's written in stone. We're the ones that let God down. But like I say, He's merciful and loving towards us and picks us up and dusts us off and puts us back in the seat. Try again. You can do it. I mean, how often does that happen on the job? You mess up a couple times in the job and you're usually looking for a place to go. Not God. If He sees anything there He can work with, He can work with, right? Think about our own lives, man. I feel so unworthy sometimes to do some of the things God calls me to do because I know what I'm like. I know what I'm like. But His love and mercy just, I cannot even think about it without getting emotional. Do you feel that way? You know, I can't be the only one who feels this way. When I think about all the mercy and love God's shown me for all the times that I've fell flat on my face, how can you not feel so much gratitude towards God? I love God, man. I know everybody here loves God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. But God wants more from us. We're not done yet. verse 9, to another faith by the Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God puts that out there. God knows exactly who he called and what he wants to do, what gift he wants to give, or gifts, depends on who it is. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all our members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now here's the part that's interesting. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body was hearing, where was the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Not what we want to do, but what God wants us to do. That's another thing. We want God's perfect will. We don't want our own perfect will. The scriptures in here teaches about that God's mind is not our mind. The only connection we got there is if we're full of the Holy Ghost, he can reach that spiritual part of our mind and motivate us to do whatever he wants us to do in the natural. But that's our connection right there, that Holy Spirit. Without that, you cannot perform these tasks like he wants them done. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where was the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There's not one person in this congregation right now or anywhere that's in a church that's got the truth, it's not important to God. Amen. He says the heavens rejoice when one soul saved, just one. And there's not one scripture that says that you can't do something for God. You can do something if it's just right. Just write something. It doesn't take much to write a card to somebody. A welcome, thank you card, or get well, or just say hi. I'm thinking about you, praying for you. Stuff means a lot to a lot of people. It's meant a lot to me over the years. Verse 23, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these bestowed more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. If we've got several gifts working in our lives, or one gift or whatever, and we see a brother or sister struggling, we got to go the extra mile. That's what that's all about. We uplift each other. We don't push each other down. We don't make each other feel bad. We give each other hope. As we all get up to that line there once in a while when we get tried, and we get our faith and our hope a little rocky sometimes. When you really get tried, and that's why we need each other. We need each other more than we even know we need each other. Because as the days grow darker, that spirit of Satan gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and that's the only thing stronger than that is God's Spirit. If we're not full of that, we're going to have a hard time. Amen. Verse 25. Now let me read 24 again. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. That's what we were just talking about. We want unity in this body. We've got to have unity. We got to be to have unity, you got to be in harmony. Every one of us got to be in harmony with God. And then we come together as a unit. And then we have that unity, and there's nothing we can't do in God. Amen. Just look at this last weekend. That took quite a few days to do all that stuff. A lot of planning. But look how it turned out. It turned out awesome. That's how the body of God works together, not bumping each other. Just like a fine running sewing machine, just can't even hear them running. Just that's how the body of God is. When everybody's in harmony with God, then they join together. Verse 26, and whether there one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We should be happy when a brother and sister gains something good or gets to go somewhere nice or gets a new car or just anything. One of their children get married, one of their children graduate from school, just anything good that happens to a brother and sister, we should be happy for. Not jealous. Not, no, I wish I could do that, or I wish I could do this, or whatever, you know. We should be, we're a brotherhood and a sisterhood. We need to remember that always. We need each other, we love each other, and we need to show each other that by the way we treat each other, with respect and honor. Amen. Verse 27, now are you one body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set in some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, that's what I'm talking about, helps, mowing grass, cleaning, vacuuming, such like. Governments, diverse tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing. Do you speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And that goes into that 13th chapter of Corinthians, where it's all about love. And we could be doing all these great things, but if we don't have the love that's in this chapter, we're not going to go into it right now, but you can look into it later, what God's love's like. If we do anything without this kind of love, it's for naught. It just gets burnt up. But that love of God, that seeketh not its own, that loves no matter what, is long-suffering, thinks no evil, that's the love that we need to have for each other and for all mankind. There's a lost and dying world out there, and we're supposed to be able to reach them people. How are we going to reach them? It can't be just by words. It's got to be by the way we walk in this life, by our example. Amen? Let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. I was thinking about the gifts and callings. Like sometimes they don't manifest themselves for years and years and years. What do you do in that time frame there? You know, do you do all you can do to be ready? That when God does call you to step out and do something different, are you ready to do it? I mean, and that only comes from not only doing the works, but that comes from prayer, study, fasting, and just zeroing in on God, making him the number one thought in your mind when you wake up in the morning, and the number one thing at night when you go to bed. and all during the day, just when you're doing things, is this pleasing to you, God, or is that, you know, you run into situations that you have to make a decision. And it might be in front of a bunch of people. Which one are you going to make? You're going to make the one where you're comfortable in their presence, or are you going to make the one that makes them uncomfortable? Because we're supposed to be different. And I got thinking about sports, about backups. You know, basketball or baseball, or they got relief pitchers. They got relief quarterbacks. There's a couple quarterbacks that I can think of in football right now that waited for years to get to be number one. And they really excelled because they did their homework all the time. Them 10 years that they waited, they did it. Every day they did the same thing number one did. And when they got their chance, they excelled. I mean, do we do that? Do we keep that hunger, and that, do you cultivate that? You have to work at this stuff. This is not just going to come to us. We have to work at it. And God's calling us to a higher level right now. He is. And we got to step up the plate. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That's what we were talking about a little earlier. Between you and God, you give your best to God, and you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. If they got a problem with it, they need to go to God. And I don't mean that in a puffed up way either. I mean it in a humble way. You cannot make people feel or think different. You just do your very best, and most of the time they'll see that's from God if they're of the family of God. And most of the time in the world, when you're out there working or doing whatever you do, people see that in you. They see you going the extra mile. They see your attitude. They see it, and they feel that Holy Ghost in you. They don't even know that's what they feel a lot of times. They just feel they like to be around you. They feel that peace and that comfort around you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's not anything we got. And that's what draws them to God. Your actions after that. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith, brothers and sisters of God. I asked a guy a while back, I invited him to church a little bit earlier that day, and he was with another guy. And I said, well, we got church at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I'd really like to see you there. You think you're going to make it? He goes, he points to this other guy and he goes, I know, it's up to him. I said, when you're at the white throne judgment, he's not going to be with you. It's going to be you and God. When God calls you somewhere, I don't make any difference who it is. You go. He calls you to church, you go to church. When you're standing at the white throne judgment, there'll be nobody with you. Your wife, your kids, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, nobody. You and God. And we'll give an account for everything we said and did in this life. And that'll come back to him if he doesn't change his ways. If he goes, I'll go. It broke my heart, I'll tell you. Because I know that this Bible is real. And I know every word in here is real. And I know the good and the bad. It talks about the goodness and the severity of God. The goodness on those that obey his word and the severity on those that don't. So, that's why we owe it to everybody. We get a chance to say something to them about this. They have to have an opportunity to live a holy life because they're going to have to face God one day. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost and haven't been living a overcoming holy life, they're in trouble. I mean, I think about when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He looked ahead. He knew what was going to happen to mankind if they didn't change their ways. It's going to happen. That's why it's so important. I mean, look at all they did to him, and he could forget all that stuff and still say, "Hey, what they got coming is nothing compared to what I just went through. I do not want anybody to go through that. If I can do something about it." Amen. 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 This is serious stuff. I mean, there's an accountability for us. We know a lot. Because we know a lot, we got a very, very high responsibilities with God. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It's one verse. And this one verse kind of sums it up about your waiting and working on your callings in God, because we all have one. And the gifts of God. But God can't use you if you're not spiritual enough to you. You'll lose your soul. Not only will you lose your soul, you might hinder somebody else in the process. So our faith and our trust in God and his word, that he won't lie and he'll always keep his promises, is what keeps us together over years after years, the hard times, good times. Our faith and trust in God. Amen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There's that word diligently again. That is all over the Bible. That doesn't mean half-heartedly or once in a while, "Well, I'm not so tired today, maybe I could do it today." That means every day you give God your best. You study. You open this word up. This word is just like God's talking to you, man. He will show you the things he wants you to do and change. He will show you the things that he's got planned for you. You'll feel it when you start reading this thing. God will just put it on your heart. "Hey, this is what I want you to do," or "this is what you're going to be," or whatever. But you got to believe this, and you got to be willing to pay the price. Now, are we willing to pay the price? Amen? We got to pay the price. Look what God's already done for us, man. And I tell you what, I need to cultivate that fire, man. And the only way you can do that is get on your hands and knees. Hands and knees. So lift your hands and get on your knees. How about that one? Yeah. Let's go to Revelation, the 2nd chapter. These are the last scriptures here. So if you want to get Sunday school coming this way. Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How does that happen? That happens when you let off in your prayer, let off in your study, let off in your fasting, let off on coming to church. That's how you lose your first love. If you love somebody, you keep the door open, and you keep it open every day. If you love your wife, or if you love your husband, you hug him in the morning, you hug him at night, and hug him in the daytime, if you get a chance. You talk to him, you listen to him. That's why there's Bibles here. So you can talk to God in your prayer, and you can read these verses, and it's just like he's talking to you. I mean, I just break out crying when I read a lot of these verses. It's just so personal, man. I'm not special. That's for his people. That's for each and every one of us. Amen? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I have also. They worship false gods and things like that. And the scriptures teach anything we put before God is a false god, an idol. So if you got something out there that's more important than God, then put it on the back burner. A lot of that stuff is not sin in itself. It's just taking the place of God. Give God his time, and you'll enjoy that other stuff. When you take it away from God, it's not half as good. I went a few places, and it's kind of up in the grabs whether God really wanted me to do or not. And as soon as I got there, I knew that he didn't want me there. I was miserable. It wasn't half as good as I thought it was, and I didn't tell anybody about it when I got home. You know, everybody likes to talk about how much fun they had or whatever, but I didn't feel that way when I got home, because I took it instead of waiting on God. And we don't want to go there. It's not worth it. Verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. We want to eat in that tree of life. That's home base for eternity, and we got to make it there. We got to make it there. This is not a, well, maybe. This, we got to make it there. Amen? Are you fired up? Sure don't sound like it. Yes, amen. This is important. It really is. I spent a lot of time praying and studying about this stuff, and I feel in my heart about this stuff, man. It's important. This is a warning. This isn't everything's cool. This is a warning. You can take it that way. If you've got anything between you and God, this altar's open. If you need the Holy Ghost, the altar's open. If you got any issues with anybody, make it right tonight. Anything. Get where you're supposed to be with God. It says right here, repent, and he'll forgive us, no matter what's going on. Amen. Amen. I love you all. Thank you for making the effort to be here tonight. I hope you got out of this teaching what God put on my heart. Have a good week.
God, this altar's open for you.
I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with my Lord. There's joy down in my soul, and I want the world to know that I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with my Lord. There's joy down in my soul, and I want the world to know that I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with my Lord. There's joy down in my soul, and I want the world to know that I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with my Lord. There's joy down in my soul, and I want the world to know that I'm so in love with Jesus. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his sweet love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his sweet love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his sweet love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his sweet love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his sweet love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? has not seen, has not heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?